Welcome to Building Fortunes Radio. Make sure you check us out at buildingfortunesradio.com. Along with our marketing partners, we're here to help our PM Marketing Network Lead customers build their businesses and make the world a better place. At Building Fortunes, we know how much your business means to you and the people important to you. So spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world. Now on to our show with your host, Peter Mingles.
Hello, everyone. Peter Mingles here. You're listening to us on Building Fortunes Radio. It's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. We are here with a special radio show with a good friend of ours. His name is Ken Nielsen. And Ken and I have known each other for a super-duper long time. It's been over a decade. And recently, as he started building his business continued to build his business, he had spoken to me about different ways to get the message out. And I said, you know, the biggest thing about our industry at this time is a lot of people have natural skepticism, and they don't really know who to trust. You know, they got that disinformation, misinformation, malinformation, not only in the health field, but also in the, you know, the home-based business field as well. So you don't know who to trust. And I said the biggest thing is that people want to know that they can work with people, so let's put some radio shows together. And we'll put a website together so you can post the different things that you have going on, as well as other interesting articles, because I like to work with people that are, like, fascinating as far as their conversations and their topics and their discussions. So came up with a domain name called Count on the Truth, and countonthetruth.com was available, and I said, that's perfect. So that's what we want to do. When you're looking for different things, especially when it means something, you want to make sure you can count on the truth. So we're here, and you can go to countonthetruth.com, be able to pick up the previous radio shows that we've done. And if you go to buildingfortunesradio.com/countonthetruth, you'll be able to hear them there as well. And Ken's always got a lot of great ideas and a lot of great topics. And tonight's radio show is going to be another one of those as well. So, Ken, thanks for being here on your own radio show.
Hey, Peter. Thanks again for having me. I appreciate your flexibility, versatility, and patience, because I told you earlier that I had got kind of hung up because it was that time of the year where we're doing taxes and didn't quite make a meeting time, but we made this so that it's going to work out. So I really appreciate your patience. It's kind of a fascinating subject in itself about taxes, and then we start talking about the home business opportunity and actually the tax savings are things that you can use for some of the tax write-offs. And I just right up front, like we had mentioned previously, it's quite a while ago, actually, about tax savings. When you have your own home-based business, there's actually 157 write-offs as opposed to only three if you're just a regular W-2 person out there in the workforce. So I didn't know if you had anything you might want to make a comment on that just to get started, but I thought that was pretty amazing at the differences that are associated with those taxes. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about, Peter.
Oh, yeah, I sure do. Yeah, I sure do. So for those people listening in, you know, I guess we can go back to when did you learn about taxes? And I remember when I was growing up, I didn't know anything about taxes. You know, it wasn't really a conversation that my parents shared with me as we were growing up. And I remember my uncle was a truck driver, and one day he had a bad back, and meaning as a result of whatever, he had just had a bad back as far as driving a truck. And I remember him one time saying, it makes no sense for me to drive overtime because even though they pay me more, the government takes half of my money. And that's why I won't drive overtime. It sounds like such a good thing, you know, all that extra money. But he says, by the time you're done with it after taxes, the government takes half of it. So you're really working for less money. And I didn't understand that, but I understood his frustration. And then, like I said, you know, my little common theme over here, you know, when did you learn about taxes? Well, when I was my first, I guess, real job, or job was a newspaper delivery guy, and there was no taxes that I remember there. I just remember that I had to get up early, and I had to drop off the newspapers, and I had to kind of pick up the stuff, and I don't think there was ever taxes, not at my age. And then when I was in high school, I was a clammer, and I know that most people may not know what that means, but in New York where I was, there was the Great South Bay, and my friend Frankie had a boat, and we would go dig clams, and we drop off the clams in a burlap bag at the truck at the dock, and they would be the ones that would supply the seafood restaurants in the local area. And you bring up your burlap bag, and the guy gave you $40 or $70 in cash. And that was it, you know. And then when I had my own boat for the next couple of summers, it was cash. And it was as hard work as I did. It was a manual, physical hard work. I got a great tan, made a couple of friends with some seagulls, and listened to Howard Stern on the radio, which might not have helped my self-development, but it was something that was totally funny. But the reality was, is then I started working at a grocery store, and if I made $70 out on the day when I was out doing my clamming, I was working less hours at the grocery store. They wouldn't give me the 16 or 18 or whatever hours it was. But if I made $70 for the week, I only brought home, like, whatever it was, 60 or 55 or whatever. I'm like, what's this? What's this? Well, you got to pay your taxes, I would hear. I'm like, well, wait a minute. They weren't part of – what part of my labor do you get a chance to – take? And I always felt like, wait a minute, you weren't — when I say you, I mean whoever it was that was holding back my money, because I was getting paid second, you know. When I was at the clam thing, I got paid first. When I was at the grocery store, I got paid second. Like, I got paid what was left over. I said, this is screwy. And then when I started to make some real money, it would really hurt. So when I was in direct sales, and, you know, if you made $1,000 and you only brought home $7, you're like, who is it? And then I kind of realized that I was working for the government. No matter what anybody said, I was — what do you do? I was a manager trainee with Electrolux, but I also work for the government. Like, they say, you work for the government? Mm-hmm. I'm like, do you look at my paycheck? I work for the government. Whoever it is, I'm working for them. And I know some of it was settled in for Social Security or unemployment or whatever else like that, but the perception was I got paid second, and I wasn't really comfortable with that. And I always felt like somebody was taking a bigger bite of my hard work. They were — I'm not going to say stealing, but then again, you watch what they pay the money for. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Do you see what the government wastes money on? So I gave — I became really like, my exposure to taxes and tax money taken from my pocket, especially since I've always been paid on performance, meaning like I got paid for what I produced, and they had nothing to do with it. It wasn't like I got a paycheck I could rely on all the time. I've always been on production. And the reality was, is I've always said, wait a minute, I want to do whatever I possibly can to be able to preserve legally as much as — so I'm going to learn the rules, and I'm going to preserve as much as I possibly can. And you know what? As an employee, like you said, three tax deductions. As a home-based business, you know, 1099 or MLM distributor, I could take advantage of business use of the home and so much more. So I'm going to be quiet because I don't want to hog this radio show. But my question for those people listening in is, what was your first education to taxes? And the way I was brought up, you could see why I'm so sensitive towards why I want to do something to preserve as much money as I make. So back to you, Ken.
Yeah, again, great insights, Peter, because that's a great way to kind of lead into some other things here. But it's amazing how that kind of — you evolve from one side to the other, and it's the same thing. We have people, especially right now with the work that I'm doing, we have to do mandatory overtime, et cetera, because of the need for the people to get the actual paperwork done so that they get the information sent to them so that they can take care of their taxes and do the things that the government requires of them to do to make the numbers visible to them so that they can say, okay, this is what you've done, this is how much you've made for this amount of time for the year, and then what taxes you had taken out, you know, whether — how many items you were claiming, et cetera, et cetera. But it's pretty mind-boggling when you start thinking about working the extra time and you find out that the government comes in and takes out half of what you're working for, and all of a sudden you feel like the kids are making more money than you are because they just don't have to be in those different tax brackets. So, and how easy it is just to miss a tax bracket to where you might get back more money by somewhere maybe in between $20 and $50. And you go, man, if only I would, if I'd have known that, I would have cut back just five of those overtime hours, and I'd been in a better position for the income taxes to providing some extra money coming back. And then the other side of it is sometimes we try to claim just the whatever we just basically need, so that we let the government take out as least amount of possible to be able to be making some type of income by using our money in whatever investments that they're using too. So anyways, pretty crazy stuff when you look at all of it from its all different perspectives. But I know that and it's got to be different in different states, and I'm not sure. This is one of the things that I have people ask me about. So how do we know that it's exactly that way in this state, exactly that way in that state? And I'm sure that each state has its own rules of engagement, you might say. I don't know. Are you familiar with that, being that you worked with Dr. Charles King when it came to home business taxes that they were able to take out of the businesses, for example? Were there some states that just it seems like Wyoming has certain special rules about the home business industry all the way around, whereas other states are pretty wide open. Do you know anything about that, Peter?
I'm not sure that I'm not a tax accountant, and it always changes. Here's the problem. It always changes. Every year there's new tax rules. So I probably shouldn't be given tax advice, but the reality is that here's what we know, is that if you're a W-2 earner, you have a limited number of legitimate tax deductions. If you're a 1099, you know, a business person or something like that, because here's the way it was explained to me a long time ago. He said, you know, the taxes were, this is a positive way it was set up. He said, the government provides deductions for you as a small business owner so you could build your business. And they provide those deductions, and they give you all these opportunities to be able to grow, so eventually you'll have to pay taxes on the profits. So they kind of subsidize, if you will, your business. I'll use home-based business, and because a lot of people are staying in home-based business. The government helps subsidize your home-based business through those tax deductions so you can build it big enough so you can pay taxes on the profits. And that's probably the way it is in every state. So depending on whatever state you might be in, I can't give you specific examples. But the reality is the tax laws favor the entrepreneur. That's what I can say. And the tax laws don't favor the employee. Now, if you ask me, what is the government trying to do? The government wants more employees, because that's their bigger tax base. They don't want people that are entrepreneurs. Look at what they're doing to small businesses, you know, nationwide. Look what they did with COVID. They basically shut them all down. So the government would love to have you as a W-2, because they get a big, I bet you if you take a look at it, they probably get a bigger slice of your money when you're a W-2 earner than they do if you're a 1099. So they're always pushing more people to do more as far as on a W-2 side. But it's your life. You don't have to follow the crowd. You don't have to follow the way, you know, the herd. You don't have to become the government's maximum customer, if you will. Go out there and do whatever you can to live your life the right way. So build your businesses and take advantage of the deductions. And we've had a lot of people on this radio show that talked about home-based businesses and tax deductions. We've had Bob Adams, we've had Sandy Botkin, we've had Courtney Epps, we've had a whole bunch of other people talk about business use of the home. So there's a lot of really great information out there, so you'll be able to take advantage of this. So back to you.
Yeah, a couple of the names in there that I haven't heard for a little bit of time, but I know that Sandy Botkin is very specialized in this particular area or special niche, and it seems like he's got some really great stuff. I think he's got a whole program by himself that you can get a hold of as well. I've got one on my website by Dr. Mueller, and I know that those two names are pretty specialized.
He passed away.
Oh, has
Mueller
he?
Passed away. Yeah, not recently, within the last year or two. But Sandy Botkin, I think, is still going strong. Bob
right,
Adams,
right.
The radio shows with us, and he's not practicing anymore. But Courtney Epps was doing some stuff for home-based businesses as well. And I don't know, and there's a lot of them. There's a lot of other people as well.
Right.
But make sure you. But I'll tell you who doesn't do home-based business taxes, usually your H&R Block guy. You know, your typical
right.
kind of tax preparer is not going to take an interest in your taxes the same way you will take an interest in your taxes. So find somebody that favors home-based businesses.
Yeah, yeah, very correct. That's another good opening here. I was going to say the next thing I wanted to kind of cover was the fact that even looking at the armed services, I know that there's kind of a saying that goes along with the U.S. Marines use a saying that you're supposed to improvise, adapt, and overcome. And, of course, one of the slogans that I'm familiar with is almost the same. It says, observe, adapt, overcome. And I've got a couple of fun stories, at least one fun story, to throw in on the radio program tonight. But I'm thinking it's probably time to take a quick break, and then maybe we come back from the break. I can go with that and just kind of share a couple of key points and see if there's something there that might spark some interest. I know that you'll be able to make a fairly good comment when I am able
Perfect.
To give this quick story. So we'll go to a break there, Peter.
Quick commercial break. We'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to Building Fortunes Radio. If you sell a product or service, then you should check out PMMarketingsNetworkLeads.com. Just visit www.networklead.com. For over 18 years, PM Marketing has helped distributors build their home-based businesses through lead generation, website development, automated email delivery systems, and sales training. If you're looking for a way to increase your skills and increase the number of people that see your product or opportunity, networklead.com can help. To learn more, visit www.networkleads.com. Ask about their lead management system, capture pages, personalized websites, MLM training, Humongous Blog, the Humongous Classified Ad Network, Building Fortunes Radio, or their webinar schedule. Networkleads.com can be your one-stop shop for everything you need. And now, back to our show.
And we're back. Peter Ringles here with Ken Nielsen. We are talking about Count on the Truth. CountOnTheTruth.com is the website. So, Ken, let's hear your story.
Yeah. Okay, thanks, Peter. Yeah, it's, we were invited, actually, to a hang gliding event in central Idaho. And a lot of times at this particular place, they have a lot of competition events. At least they have two events per year. But we were invited up there because we hadn't been to this particular place. And thought, well, this should be interesting to see what's kind of going on up at a place called King Mountain. And a lot of the people get to King Mountain and they thermal up after they go up for launch, and they fly a mountain range up there, so they actually fly over the highest peak in Idaho. And it was interesting because a lot of the pilots that I had talked to, they'd actually been flying in early June over Bora Bora Peak, which is over 12,000 feet high, and they were actually flying in snowstorms. I got a kick out of that. I thought, what? We're in the first part of June, and you're still having to deal with snow, but and not actually snow on the ground, but kind of going through the snow squalls or the snow flurries. But so anyways, we went up, and I remember the first day, we got there a little bit late, so we just had to set up kind of camp and get enough sleep to get up for the next day. And they have two launches up there by King Mountain. One is called Coyote, and then, of course, the other one is over on the King Mountain side. So that particular day, because of the way the winds were blowing, et cetera, we launched off Coyote launch. And I remember thermaling up thinking, okay, so we're just going to fly from west to east, and the goal here today is to fly to Idaho Falls, which is over 100 miles. And we had our driver, and everything was going really great until it clouded up and then clouded in. And what happens when it clouds in? Some of the thermal activity kind of dies off and kind of dies down. So you don't get to the extreme heights that you're used to getting to, and it's kind of a struggle to keep moving from one point to another point. And so just to keep this real short, I remember I was getting ready to make an approach to come in for landing. I was about 1,000 feet over, which is pretty high for making approaches and that. But I was talking to the driver, and I asked what the it looked like it was just really rolly. The terrain didn't look very good for making a landing, and she says, no, you don't want to land here. It's terrible down here. There's really not that flat. She says, if you stay in there and keep thermaling moving east, that'd be the best thing to do. So that's what I did. And I got into a place and I shouldn't admit to this, but I got into a place where it was a restricted fly zone, and I had to spin circles like, oh, I think I was in one thermal for, oh, I know it was at least over, oh, 45 to 50 times. And I actually was getting, I wasn't getting dizzy, but I tell you, it was a lot of work for just very little altitude gain. And I remember how many times I did that as it clouded in, and I said, well, because if you land inside this particular area, they find out where you are and they come over, they issue a citation. You're actually fined for being in there. And I heard the pilots on the radios there, and there was a place out to the south of this particular area, and people were barely making it across this fenced-in zone. So the people on the outside were all excited because they were going to go to a restaurant and order food and have a good, you know, talk about their adventure. The guys on the inside of this fencing area were getting sighted, and it was only within like 200 feet of each other. It was pretty amazing. I thought, well, I'd finally done so many circles. I said, I've got to get moving. I've got to take the chance, move out of here, because if I can't make it, I can't make it. It's just the way it is. So I headed out and eventually found a couple places where the thermal activity was better and bigger. And I worked my way actually quite a ways away from it. So I think I ended up like 37 miles to the east of where I was all worried about what was going to happen. So it was really easy. It was just a matter of hooking up with my driver and getting back. But the other side of the thing, this story, is the fact the next day we were supposed to go up on King Mountain Launch. And to get up to King Mountain Launch, you have to put your vehicle in four-wheel drive. Well, my driver was very uncomfortable with putting the vehicles. He did not looking up the mountain and having to drive up the steep embankment. And it was intimidating in places. So I said, well, let's go back over to Coyote Launch, and we'll just set up there, and we'll give it a try. And if the wind's coming in the right way, I'll launch. If not, we'll call it a day and go from there, because I didn't want to make it so that she wouldn't never drive again. So we went over, got set up. I'm on launch, and we're doing the radio check. And as I switched channels, we had a backup channel. So if anything happened, we knew if we had to make some type of communications, we could always go to this backup channel. I switched over to that channel, and the radio went dead. And I thought, oh, man, this is the wrong time to have this happen. And so I said, there's a new battery pack in the vehicle. Let's put that on the radio and see what happens. And so she went and grabbed that, and we put it on the radio. And the radio came back to life. So we knew that the radio was good. We got back on the regular frequency. I launched off of Coyote. It seemed like the last puff of air, and I was in. We have what we call a variometer. It's just like a cell plane, a flight instrument deck, and it's what they use in cell planes that don't have motors. Anyways, I've headed out to landing zone, and I'm in a sink that's 200 feet down, which is pretty normal just on a regular glide. And I thought, well, let's talk about a short day, but at least I'll get back to Salt Lake in time to go to work the next day. And as I crossed the threshold of this one particular field, the radio went back to zero. So I knew there was some lift somewhere, and I just kind of went right and left a little bit, and sure enough, there was a thermal off to my right. It was only about 100 feet up per minute. So I grabbed that thermal and just worked it the best I could. It turned into 200 feet, and the next thing I know is I'm thermaling up past the launch over on King Mountain. And all the guys that were sitting there set up waiting for the wind to be right, I've never seen so many people run to get their harnesses and get their gliders to make a launch off of that. So I was the wind dummy for the day. And anyways, we thermaled up over Mount King Mountain, and it's spectacular. It's just absolutely spectacular. And being that I was headed back towards Salt Lake, instead of flying from west to east, we decided to go back towards another flying site that we had. And I was headed from north to south, and it was really fun watching all the different colors and that appear in the sky at your same altitude as the people that were flying that day started to come into the same altitude. And it's just almost like colored popcorn popping in the sky. And I got on the radio and I said, well, you guys, I'm probably not headed the direction you want to go, so I'm not the guy to follow today. And a couple other guys said, hey, what we should try, let's see if we can fly across craters of the moon. And I said, well, we've been told not to do that because there's been a few deaths that have been associated with it, because it's just such a hard, it's a maze. The way the roads are in there, there's so many dead ends, and it's just a maze to kind of see what's going on or know which way to go. So we sent my driver down the regular highway freeway to get on the other side. And then we had two other people. We had one follow the other one, so in case anything happened to them. And what was so amazing about the flight was the people on the radio guiding the two drivers we had, they could see where these roads dead-ended. You'd get to a T-section, nope, don't go left, it's a dead-end, you got to go right. Then you get to a four-way section, keep going straight. Anyways, we guided these two vehicles all the way through craters of the moon. And I thought about it because we were only getting to about 14,000 feet at the highest, anywhere from usually about 10 to 12, but once in a while you'd hit 14. But we flew all the way across craters of the moon, which was just fascinating in itself. And for me, it was a great day because I'd flown three other flights that were 63 miles long. I just couldn't break 63 for some reason. I don't know why that number stuck out. But when we got across and we figured out the mileage, I'd flown 77 miles. So it was a new best for me, and which eventually led to the 100-milers and the 150-milers, et cetera, et cetera. But I think we're kind of looking at networking the same way. Sometimes you've got to observe, you've got to adapt, and then you overcome. And if you're not sure where to head or what you need to do and that type of thing, we've got that all figured out for everybody, especially with all the many choices that there are with all the different home business opportunities out there. And we've really narrowed it down to a few. So that's kind of a perspective that I'm trying to give people, that I think I've got a different perspective than most people have because of all the years that I've been in networking, having to do with the owners and the compensation plans and the availabilities of what you're actually going to be able to make. Again, low risk, high reward, but the rewards are there. And I think people will be pleasantly surprised again if they just take a moment to take a look. So hopefully that didn't get too long-winded, Peter, but I thought I'd just kind of throw that in there. It's really when if you set somebody off in their own little path, I know if those two guys tried to cross the craters of the moon, they could have got lost in there and been in there all day, whereas if we were up higher and we could see where the roads were dead-ended and where they were going, it was easy to lead them to the other side as compared to what it could have been. So anyways, I thought I'd just kind of throw that out and see if maybe there was something you might want to add to that, Peter.
Well, tons of lessons, and I do know if I was going to go flying, I'd go flying with you. You're my first pick. So, yeah, so just amazing stories. But I guess the most important thing there is the confidence that you have was based on the experience and the knowledge that you've gained. So there's a little bit of a self-confidence formula, because I would not have been able to do any of that sort of stuff. So self-confidence equals knowledge plus experience. You have all of that. And therefore, since you've done all of that sort of stuff before, if you can apply that towards a home-based business, you know, chances are it's going to be less scary. You're not going to run out of steam, blah, blah, blah. You'll be able to understand and process what's going on. So you'll be able to respond as opposed to react, like, oh, my God, that's reaction. But responding is, don't worry about it. We can take this. We'll just make another couple of spins around. We can handle this. This is how you work yourself out of a tough situation. And that's, if there are some parallels that we can draw, that's where it is. So whether it's, you know, which home-based business, what to do, how to work all this stuff, that's why you want to work with Count on the Truth and Ken Nielsen. Relative to this, and one little thing as you were speaking is, you know, one of my favorite birds in Florida is the turkey vulture. And I don't know if you're familiar with, I know they have vultures all over the place.
Sure. Yeah.
But in Florida, they have these beautiful big turkey vultures. And they've kind of become pets for me because I feed them in the backyard. I could probably be cited for breaking some kind of law because, you know, the way the government is, anything you do is probably breaking some kind of a law. But anyway,
yeah.
So the reality is though, I'm just always amazed at watching them do the things that you were referencing, like climb those thermals. Like, how in the world do they do that is a miracle. Like, it's just watching them in the air do the stuff that they do is just fascinating. And that, as a human being, you kind of mimic what they do. It's just fascinating to me. So anyway, so
correct.
My admiration, people that do those types of things. But turkey vultures are cool. So having said that, I'll let you wrap it up. You got about, we're a little bit over time, but you got as much time as you want. You can wrap this up, and we'll catch everybody next time on Count on the Truth. Talk.
No, we'll that's fantastic. No, we'll keep this real short. And I think one of the things you'd mentioned something earlier that I thought was really great, and I'll just throw this out real quick. I think what people don't really understand, I was talking about a new book that was out, and I'm not sure how new it is, but we're prisoners of our own thoughts. That's the title of the book, Prisoners of Our Own Thoughts. And I think that's really the bottom line. And one of the things that you said that was kind of corresponding to that, I'm not sure exactly how you put it, but something to do with our own limits. And so I'm going to kind of give it back to you, and you might just kind of mention that, because I'm just going to say, hey, if you can't count on the truth, what can you count on? And you just might make mention of kind of what we are with our own limits, and you can wrap it up, Peter.
Sure, absolutely. So I use a thought process in reference to people who say to me sometimes, well, I don't like selling, or I'm not good at selling. And I said, well, let's kind of analyze this, and I'm not going to try to do anything except for just have a conversation. When I learned sales, I would say to my salespeople when they came back from a demonstration, so did you sell or did you buy? And they would say, what? You know, like look at you the first time. Well, you either sold the product or you bought the objection for them not going ahead. So did you buy the husband objection, like I have to ask my husband, or did you buy the I don't have any money objection? Like they sold you. And I'd sometimes playfully say, you know, maybe you can go back and give them an application for sales, because they were the better salesman in that situation. So I had to do stuff, you know, like that to kind of give somebody a mental noogie, you know, just to kind of say, well, did you sell or did you buy? And then I came up with a little bit longer, and I just said, you know, thinking it through, whenever there's two or more people, there's a sale going on. If they're talking about stuff, I used to say, if there's two or more people, their lips are moving, somebody's selling, somebody's buying. And, you know, and that happens all the time. And I said, now there's one big exception, but this is really important, and that's when you talk to you. And that this is when it gets kind of serious, because it went from the kind of cute to cliche to kind of serious. And if you think about it, you are the best salesman you know. And you'd say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, if you've sold yourself on so many things that you could do, or worse, how many things you can't do. So you sell yourself on your own limits every day. If I said to somebody, you know, could you do 50 push-ups? And if you haven't done 50 push-ups lately, doing 50 push-ups at once time, I'll tell you, I've been in out of shape. I've been in, let me say that slowly and correctly. I've been in and I've been out of shape in plenty of different ways. And I know that when I want to get into shape, if I'm like, oh, shoot, I haven't done push-ups in a while, that doing those first 10, ooh, it's painful. But then, like I've learned, I can start off with whatever I start off with, whether it's 1, doesn't matter, 2, doesn't matter, 5, doesn't matter, whatever it is that day. And then maybe a little bit later on that day, I'll do another, say I'm going to pick the number 5. And then I do another 5 push-ups. And then I'll do another 5 push-ups. So maybe 15 for the day in just 3 intervals. And you'd say, what is that going to do? I'd say, watch tomorrow. And then I would do 6. And then watch tomorrow. I would do 7. And then eventually I get up to 50 in one shot. And you'd say, how does that happen? And the answer, you know, Jim Rohn would say, it's a miracle. Like, it doesn't matter how it happens. It just does. But the reality is that I sell or unsell myself every day on my limitations. So that's kind of like the title of that book that you referenced with my longer explanation. So, yeah, you're a great salesman. Everybody sells themselves every day. So watch out, because you're good. You're good at what you do. So you have to watch out on the limits you place on yourself. So on that note, we're going to call it a radio show. Thanks, everybody, for being here. And we'll talk more about the specifics of tax advantages and maybe some examples that you might be able to use while you're listening in. Because if you haven't done it before, again, you might have limited yourself to saying, I'm not sure if I could do that. And we'll show you that you can. We'll speak to you next time on Building Fortunes Radio. Thanks, everybody. Go to countonthetruth.com. Thank you. Okay.
You've been listening to Building Fortunes Radio on buildingfortunesradio.com. Thanks for listening. Be sure to check us out every Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time for the designated Building Fortunes Radio segment with Peter Mingle. Be sure to check out the buildingfortunesradio.com website for our featured segments. It's been our privilege to have you listen in. At Building Fortunes Radio, we wish you the success you deserve and are willing to work for. So spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world.